The book of Esther is in the reading for us this week. The reading that we have that Alex just read is towards the end of the story. It actually is the end of the story. So it's kind of like when you watch a mystery, and if the director is taking this approach, first of all, I want to ask everybody to please turn off your cell phones. If you're looking at them, please put them away and listen to the word of the Lord. Okay? Thank you. So what we want to do, everybody, is take a look at this mystery, this mystery story, and go back in time now that we have heard the result of it, right? We heard the result of what happened there. What did we hear? We're introduced to a king and Haman, a man named Haman. There's a feast. There's Queen Esther, right? And they were all coming together in that kind of a way. And Esther says to the king, if I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be granted me for my wish and my people for my request. Right? So she's saying, please save my life and my people's life. For we've been sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be killed, to be annihilated. And then she says, if we were just given away as slaves, men and women, I would be silent, for our affliction is not to be compared with the loss to the king. If that were the case, it would be fine with me, but no, it wasn't that way. And so King Ahasuerus says to Queen Esther, who is he and where is he and who dared to do this? And then she said, it's Haman. So Haman is there, and Haman is this terrible person who had planned to bring the demise down on Esther and all of the Jewish people. And then at the end of the story of the reading today, we hear the end of the story where a day called Purim, you remember, I don't know if you have Jewish friends that celebrate Purim, but it's the day that the Jewish people were saved, right, from destruction. And they still remember that day today, and they celebrate it with feasts. And so Purim is a part of our lives today in the world around us. And we can also relate to that when we read the book of Esther and see what is happening. But what I'd like to do now is, like in the TV stories, I'd like to go back and tell you the story in brief, an outline of the details of what happened leading up to the point that we heard in the scripture today. Okay, so listen up to the story of Esther in short. First of all, we're introduced to, actually, the name of the king is a lot easier if we refer to him as King Xerxes. Xerxes is also hard to say. But Ahasuerus was also referred to as King Xerxes. And so King Xerxes is the king of Persia. And this is at the time when the people of God, the Israelites, were brought away from Jerusalem, and they were in this, they were banished because of their sins and their idolatry. God banished them, and they were taken over by other peoples. And that is what is happening here. They are under the rule of King Xerxes, and he's giving a big banquet. Now, the banquet is a big part of this story, and we just heard there was a feast going on at the end of the story, right? There was a feast going on when Esther was with the king and talking to him about saving her people. So the feast is a big part of this story, and it's also a very ironic story. It's filled with irony. You look at the fact that the king, when a heads up as we go along, you can look at the relationship of the king as a man to the women in the story and how they relate to one another. The story is a really, really good example of, looking down upon women. It's a very, modern idea for us, that women's rights, right? Well, it began back then, right, with this writing of Esther, to point out that women have lives and they have great worth and they shouldn't be shunned by men. But anyway, we'll go on with the story. King Xerxes gives a big banquet, and during the banquet, he calls out and says, bring my wife, Queen Vashti, to me. Now, Queen Vashti could only come to the king when he called her to himself. So this is the kind of scene that we were talking about at that time. The queen could only come and visit and come into the king's presence when she was called. And so she was in waiting for that. Well, at this time, when he gives out the call and he sends a servant there, Queen Vashti says, no. She says, no, which is a big statement, right, in that time. Very shocking that someone would dare to do that to the king, much less his queen. He wanted to show her off. She was known for her beauty, right? And she said, no, I'm not coming. Tell him I'm not coming. And there's a lot of speculation as to why she said that, but we don't have time to go into that right now. But it's very interesting when you look at the story and you're coming across these kind of reactions to see what is happening and to ask questions along the way. So the king calls for all the wise and powerful advisors and asks them, what should I do now? My wife has never said no to me before. And so they all start talking together and they say, we've got to stop. We've got to put an end to this right now. If this continues on, all the men in all of the kingdom are going to be upset and mad because their wives are going to say, well, Queen Vashti didn't come to see her man. So why should we do what you tell us to do? Interesting, right? And so he says, okay, I'm going to pose of her as queen. She's no longer going to be the queen. And then they came up with a plan to go out throughout all of the kingdom and find beautiful virgins to bring to the king, and he can take his choice. It was kind of like a beauty pageant, you know, bringing all these beautiful women before the king, and they were all going to show themselves, and they were going to be hoping that they would be the next queen, right? Well, Hadassah, we didn't hear her name this way in the end of the story, but Hadassah is the Hebrew name for Esther. Okay, so Hadassah, Esther, is the one who is beautiful physically and of a beautiful character as well, right? And she's brought to the king with many other women. She is a Jewess brought up when her parents died, by her cousin Mordecai. So Mordecai was her cousin, but he also assumed responsibility for her when her parents died. So he was like an adoptive father to her. The king, when he sees Esther coming to him, and she was very beautiful, right? She was more beautiful than anyone. And when he saw her and met with her, he chose her as his queen. Now the story gets very interesting from this point on. There's things that I can't go into. You'll have to read it yourself. But first I want to just say that Haman, this man that we met in the reading today, was an evil person who was very self-seeking, and he loved power, and he was given a very powerful position as prime minister under the king. Okay? In that position, Haman expected all of the subjects, all of the king's subjects, all the court people to bow before him. Okay? He wanted everyone to bow before him whenever they saw him. But Mordecai, right, the cousin of Esther, the adoptive father of Esther, was a eunuch in the court there. He refused to bow down to Haman. So you do see the irony and all the different things going on in here where a command is given out and the people say no. There's a reaction of no. And now it's here with a man as well. And he's standing up to Haman, this prime minister of the king. And he's saying, no, I'm not going to bow down to you. It's believed that the reason for him not bowing down to him was because Haman was an Amalekite, and the Amalekites and the Jews were longtime enemies. And so Mordecai, being a Jew, would not bow down to this man. Well, it infuriated him too, to hear no from a person like Mordecai when he was such an important person in the kingdom. And so Haman wants Mordecai dead. Right. He wants him dead for not bowing down to him, but he wants actually more than that, because he's talking to the other servants about the fact that Mordecai won't bow down to him. And they all say that he's a Jew, and there's many Jews that live in the kingdom here. Right. And so Haman develops this hatred and this evil in his heart towards all Jews, and he wants to have all of the Jews wiped out. And we call that genocide today. The whole peoples would be destroyed like that. And so he seeks a way for that to happen. He goes to the gods and they roll the dice. It's called like Pur, P-U-R. That's where we get this festival, the Purim. The Pur is casting lots, like casting dice to see what the gods are going to say about a day. Which day are they going to say will be a good day to destroy all of the Jewish people throughout the kingdom? After he finds out and he gets an answer from the Purim, Haman seeks a meeting with the king, and he tells him that these evil people, the Jewish people, are rebelling, And he makes up this story about how they are wanting to have power and they don't want to follow the laws of the king. Right? And so the king listens to all this and he said, well, we can't have that. We have to have an end to them. We must destroy all of them. Right? And so Haman is saying, yes, I've got my way now. I mean, the king is going to do what I say. And so he develops this plan to not only kill Mordecai with the gallows and hang him, but also to go out and to destroy all the Jewish people. The king gives him a ring to promise him that he can put an end to the Jewish people. Okay. Well, meanwhile, you can imagine how Mordecai feels when he hears about what happened, right? That this decree goes out that all the Jewish people are going to die on a given day, right? He puts on sackcloth and ashes before God to plead to God for his life. Now, God's name is never mentioned in the book of Esther. It's one of the characteristics of this book that God's name is never mentioned in the entire book, but there are many, many implications that point to God's presence and the people's respect for God in that kind of a way. So Mordecai, when he hears the plan to destroy himself and also the people of God, the Israelites, the Jews, he sends word to Esther that she must approach the king and ask him for mercy for their people. Okay, so he gets word to Esther and tells her about the situation. Esther returns word through the same person that anyone who approaches the king unannounced is going to die. So she says to him, it's not allowed. I'm breaking the law. I won't be able to do it. I can't go to the king and tell him anything like this. So Mordecai tells her what to do in chapter 4. Now I'm going to ask Brother Alfred to show the scripture here of what happened there in chapter 4. Before we get to that, let me just read to you what Esther said in chapter 4 before Mordecai responds to her. All the king's servants and all the people of the king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law to be put to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter so that he may live. But as for me, I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. So she did not have any call from the king and she's not expecting any call. She doesn't know when she's going to be called by the king. Okay. So this reading here on the scripture here, it's rather small. Sorry about that, but I'll read it for you. It says this. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go and gather all the Jews to be found in Susa, and hold a fast on my behalf and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. And then I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So let's keep this scripture up there for just a moment and look at this together. This is a very powerful moment in the history of humankind, in the history of the Jews. Very powerful scripture that leads us to understand what it means for salvation to come and what also sacrifice means. And so Mordecai, when he hears from Esther that she is saying, if I go to the king unannounced, I could die. He challenges her and tells her, don't think to yourself that in the king's palace, you will escape any more than all the other Jews. Okay. Just because you don't go to him, don't think that you're going to save your life. There's going to be an end to your life. But if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. This is one of the sentences in the story that points to the existence of God. And we believe that this response of Mordecai, he is saying that God will find another way to help us, but you and your father's house will perish. This is very strong words from Mordecai to his adopted daughter in this way, right? He's telling her what's going on and the scene for the Jews to die. Who knows? And this is the very, very famous response of Mordecai for all of Esther. Who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? This is a moment in your life that you just may have been called to by God. Right? Why was she called to be the queen? A Jew. Why did it happen? What happened in her life? She was growing up as a Jewish person, right? And she had all this life going, and then suddenly her life is turned upside down. And because of her beauty, she's chosen by the king of Persia, a pagan person, to go and to be his wife. And now it's becoming clear. There's something going on in the sovereignty of God to prepare her for this moment. What is the moment that you've been prepared for? That is what this is begging us to ask at this point. What is the moment that you have been called to in your life that God has prepared you for? That is what the book of Esther is calling us to consider. Is it to continue on in life just to survive and to take advantage of your beauty or your advantage in society or things like that so that you can preserve yourself? Meanwhile, the world is falling apart. Or are you called by God as a follower of Jesus Christ to make an impact in the world that we live in? That is the message of Esther. God forbid, brothers and sisters, that any of us would think that we were born here to simply live, to have a house and a family, raise children, send them to college, see their success, and then retire, and that's the end. It's not consistent with the Bible. It's not consistent with the Bible. We are here for a purpose, prophecy, to bring the message of God to people who are going to die. And don't worry, if you die, right, all of us are going to die, God will find people that are going to do his work to bring the salvation to people. He sent his own son, and he uses people to do that. But the question is, what do we think about ourselves? And so this is a really, really wonderful day for Grace Church. To think that God is bringing meaning and purpose into our lives for all time. And we pray in faith, not doubting like the way the waves tossing back and forth in the wind, that God is going to answer our prayers when we ask him, what do you want me to do? What is my purpose here? Why am I doing this? We have some of those students in college, and they're looking for colleges to go. Do you think that you're going to go to a college simply because of your own doing, and you're going to find it, and you're going to attend there, and that it's because of the plans that you have made? Not according to this story. Perhaps God has called you to this day, to this place, for a purpose. Do you think coming to this country from another country and coming to America and you're going to be here, it's a place of prosperity, and many people feel and they're dying to come here and they're just going to be here like that, and that's all there is to life? Not according to the story of Esther. The people were in a foreign land in this story. They were banished by God from the place that they loved, and they were living among all these other people, and they were being threatened. And what did God do? He rose up one of them as a queen to the Persian king and said, you are chosen for this day to save the people of the Israel kingdom. Powerful, powerful stuff, right? So what are you here for? What is God doing in your life? Why are things happening? An immense, immense impact on our lives to say that life is not just about what we're experiencing here in a pandemic. Why is it happening? Good question. Let's go to God, not with doubt in our heads and ask him for wisdom. Why is this happening? What do I do with my life? What am I supposed to be here for? What are you saying to me to do as your child, as your witness, Lord, as your prophet, as your singer, as your accountant, as your whatever it is that you do, student or otherwise? What am I here for, Lord? Use me for a greater purpose so that I can make a difference in the world for the sake of Jesus Christ. What am I here for? Why did these things happen to me? I'll tell you why, says the Lord. Trust in me. and I will show you the reasons. And if I don't, it is for your good. God is a great God, and he's a powerful God who loves us so much. Well, the story continues on, and there's not enough time to tell you all of it. But what happens, we saw at the end, is that the queen did ask to go to the king, and he received her, and he listened to her. Not only did he not kill her, but he said, I'll give you up to half of my kingdom. What is it that you desire? And she finally, after two banquets and arranging for banquets with Haman to be present, she tells him and also explains to him that she is a Jew and that her people are in great danger. And please save my life and all the lives of my fellow Jews. And he said, who is threatening you? And she says, Haman is. This Haman who wanted to destroy Mordecai simply because he wouldn't bow to him. And this is the person. And so the king gives the order that Haman is going to be killed on the very gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. And then Esther asks the king again, please show mercy on my people. And the edict goes out and the people are saved from destruction. And they're also lifted up into places of power. Right. And that is what that is what happens. When you read through this book, you'll see so vividly the presence of God and his sovereignty, just like the call to worship that we had today. God is our helper. If God can help someone like Esther in that kind of a position, right, he can certainly help us, can't he? So what did she do? At first, she was scared, like anyone would be. I'm going to die. She considered her life. The king, I'm going to be breaking the law. She brings that up. Could be seen as an excuse, but what, it's a good excuse, isn't it? He could kill me. I could lose my life if I go into before him. You mean you're telling me to leave this life of comfort now and to go and do something like that? And now suddenly my life of luxury and being treated like this special person by the king, I'm suddenly going to go in there and he may kill me. And Mordecai says, this may just be the moment that you were born for. That God is going to use you for this purpose. And it spoke to her heart and she went to the king and appeared before him. And God was faithful. And she was not killed. And it resulted her courage, her bravery. Right? A woman in a society where women had to be asked to come into the presence of a man like the king. And she found it inside of herself through God's help. There's one other thing that we need to mention here. What did she do? What did it say that she told when she was called to those people, right? When she was going to go to the king, she told everyone to pray for her, to fast for 3 days, that all of the Jews would have to fast for her appearance to go before the king and ask him for mercy. And she and all of her maidens there in the palace also fasted for 3 days. And so we see also, without God being mentioned, the fasting, this attitude of going before God and seeking God's help resulted in her faith being rewarded by God. And he saved all of the people. And so do we see how important it is to pray? Right? If you're like me, so often you feel like, I've got to take action, but prayer, man, I don't have time for that. She took 3 days before she went before the king. What would happen in the world if Christians like we would take 3 days and fast? Right? It would be a good thing for us to do, to seek God. And to say, Lord, I've got so many things going on, but this time belongs to you. I'm going to put away the things that are really important to me and I really love more. And I'm going to fast and I'm going to seek you. And I want to pray for my child who I love and I'm concerned about. I want to pray, Lord, and fast because I'm concerned about the pandemic. Lord, I want to fast because I'm concerned about the racism and the hatred of people toward one another. Lord, I want to fast because I'm looking for direction in my life. And I haven't been, I haven't been seeking your will. I haven't been living in a way that is pleasing to you. Right? I think we should hold it fast. So we're going to do it. We're going to fast. And the word's going to go out, and we're going to take 3 days and fast for 3 days. It doesn't mean that you have to give up food and everything. It means that you can give up something that you feel that you cannot live without each day, an iPhone or your favorite food. It could be anything that means something, a great deal to you, that you can just lay aside and say, for 3 days, I will not do that because I want to seek God. And we see in the example of Esther, this woman, she was not just a pretty girl. She was a woman who prayed and sought God first in her life. Guys, do you see the power that God has instilled in women? Don't listen to any voices that tell you that you can speak poorly or treat women in a bad way. If we do, then God is going to deal with us. And for that matter, we are not to mistreat anyone. Amazing book, the Bible, that teaches us these things. What do? We fast, we seek God, we come before him, we ask him for his will to be done in our lives. What is it, Lord, that you want me to do? If you have a problem, bring it before the Lord, fast, and come before Almighty God, and he will answer you, right? And so this fest, all this feast and all these things that are beautifully woven together in this story are well worth our time to read over and over again to see what God is saying to you in your life through these stories like this. So just to sum up, let me give you a few thoughts. First, Esther hesitated when she reached, was asked to make a big decision. And then when Mordecai told her, this is a moment that you really can make a difference and that you're called to, she prayed and she agreed to do it after those 3 days and she went in. Right? She was ready to die. Does that ring a bell with you, what Jesus calls us to do? Right. Get rid of yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. That's what she did. She took up her cross, and she followed God. Christ died for us. His life was not spared. He paid the ultimate price for us. He was called to make a difference, to be obedient to God's will. He prayed much when he was faced with that death. He prayed and prayed and prayed. God, give me strength. Your will be done, not my will, Lord. I will obey you even unto death because you love people so much and you want them to be saved. And that is why we love him and we want to take time to make a difference in the world, in our lives. Please take a moment, everyone, and think about your life. You are so important to God. And don't let anyone ever tell you otherwise. There will be Hamans in the world. There will be people like Haman who are seeking to destroy you or to hurt you in some way. But God is greater. And his son endured death on the cross, the most shameful thing in the eyes of mankind for our sakes. And yet he rose from the dead and he is sitting at the right hand of God the Father and he's pleading for you and me. That is the kind of God that we have. Praise him. Praise him just as we were called to praise and to shout out today. Who knows when the time may come, but we want to be ready when it does, that God calls us to a place where we decide that he is most important and that we have to give our lives for him. What is your life about? Take a look at your life today and come before your Heavenly Father and speak to him. And you know what you'll receive in return? The greatest love that exists in the universe. Receive a hand that says to you, I love you and I will never stop loving you. And you can trust me with any kind of wisdom that you need. All you need to ask is do is ask me. But there's a world out there of people that are dying. And it's your responsibility as my child to follow my son, Jesus Christ, and to tell them so that they can live just as you have received life. Jesus' sacrifice for us is shown in Esther's sacrifice for the people of God. Let us learn from her, but most of all, let us learn from God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this beautiful word, Lord, of obedience found in Esther. We thank you, Father, for the fact that you have chosen us, sinful people, to go out as your forgiven people, to witness to other people in our lives. We pray, Father, that we will not leave this life, Father, without caring for other people, just as Paul desired for his people, the Jews, to be saved and was willing to be cursed so much that he wanted them to be saved. Lord, we pray that you would also instill in us to look at the people in our lives, in our cultures, in our races, and to ask ourselves the same question. Do we love them as you love them? And are we willing to die for them so that they would be saved? We pray, God, that you'll help us to know that you honor those who honor you. And we pray for your blessing as we consider these things today. Let us take them to heart and remember that you love us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing a song of response that John Wesley wrote. It's a beautiful hymn that speaks of these things. Let's rise together and sing God of Grace and God of Glory. God of grace and God of glory, on your people pour your power. Crown your ancient church's story, bring its bud to glorious flower. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, for the facing of this hour, for the facing of this hour. Lo, the hosts of evil around us scorn your Christ, assail his ways. Fears and doubts too long have bound us. Free our hearts to work and praise. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, for the living of these days, for the living of these days. Heal your children's warring madness, bend our pride to your control. Shame our wanton selfish gladness, rich in things and poor in soul. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, lest we miss your kingdom's goal. Lest we miss your kingdom's goal. Save us from weak resignation to the evil
as we deplore, let the gift of your salvation be our glory evermore. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, serving you whom we adore, serving you whom we adore.
Amen. Please be seated. Father God, we come before you today as your people, Grace Church, different people, different families, one God. Hallelujah, you are our God. You have brought us all to this place today, not any other day, but this Sunday, so that we would hear from your word, Lord, that you have called us to a higher purpose. That, Lord, we are not to fear, but we are to pray for the strength that we need from Almighty God. You will supply it in the time of need when we go to that person that you've called us to talk about Jesus with. When you've called us, Lord, to stand up against the injustice in our society. When you call us, Lord, to stand up when a person is abusing someone else, a woman or someone else, Father. We pray, Father, that you will give us the courage to speak up as prophets in this world, bearing the good news, but also, Lord, the righteousness of God and the justice of God, so that other people will know, Father, that if they truly want the truth, all they need to do is to look to you. We thank you that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. We pray, Father, against the messages in the world that say that all gods are the same. We see, Lord, in the story of Esther, when the Purim and the dice were thrown, that that was no means a victory that was ensured, but it is belonging to the gods that are fake and that are powerless in comparison to the greatness of you, Lord, using a woman, a Jewish woman, to go to a Persian king and to beg for mercy on behalf of your people. And he brought it, and he did it, and he listened because of you. We pray, Father, that you'll help us to continue to have moments in our lives where you awaken in us an understanding of the privilege and the greatness that belongs to Christ, that we are privileged to be his servants and willing to die for him, that we have a Savior who did not back down, did not save his own life so that he can continue on in life, but he gave it for us. Hallelujah. We pray, God, that you'll help us to take these words to heart that we just sang. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, Father, for the facing of this hour. We pray, God, grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the living of these days. We pray, Father, and ask for wisdom and courage, lest we miss your kingdom's goal. We pray, Father, grant us wisdom, grant us courage, serving you whom we adore. Lord, we want to serve you. And so we thank you, Father, for loving us and for giving us the opportunity to be your witnesses. We pray for this world that we live in, and we pray for the leaders. We pray, Father, that you'll help them to turn to you. We pray, Father, for all nations to turn to you. We ask, Father, for mission hearts as we come into the mission month of October, Lord, and you help us to see that we are a part of it. And just as a brother said yesterday to me from the main church, Lord, that many things have changed in this world, but our mission has stayed the same. Our mission is to obey the will of God and to give glory to your name, and that all people will know Jesus Christ the Savior, and that they will be saved, and that they will have eternal life. Lord, we pray. We pray for our college students. We pray for those in college, and we pray for those choosing a college. We pray for your wisdom. We pray, Father, that they will know that they have a life because you have given it to them, and that they were chosen for a time like this. We pray, Father, for our high school students, and we ask, Father, for wisdom for them as they go through their studies and they do their extracurricular events, everything, Lord, that is a part of their lives. We pray, Father, for your protection. And we pray, Father, also for an openness of the gospel in their hearts to see Jesus as the light. We pray, Father, also for our little children in the church. We pray, Father, and pray for their lives to be changed from a young point, Lord, influenced by the word of God so that they will know that Jesus is true. We pray for their parents. And we pray for the leaders of our church. We pray, Father, for love to abound in our church as we approach this coming mission Sunday, Father, that we will be united in love and that we will be true to the calling that you have given to us. Lord, we pray for a love between congregations. We pray, Father, for love between the same cultures. We pray, Father, for love between different cultures. We pray, Father, for love. And we ask, God, that you'll help us to pursue it. To pursue it by loving people in action, putting our faith, our love into action, finding ways, spending our time tirelessly, Lord, to look for ways to let people know that they are loved. We thank you, Father, for the privilege of meeting here today in worship together. And we pray that you'll help us, Father, to remember these words from Esther and take them with us and let your seed grow in us. And that we will be prepared for that day that you have prepared for us. We thank you and we pray for your blessing on the rest of the service today in Jesus' name. Amen.